Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, and I'm going to share verses 13 to 16, and I'm going to share them out of the Message Bible. It says, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not breaking rules. Treat everyone with dignity. Treat everyone with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Amen. Respect the government. Everybody, wherever you are, say, I will respect the government. And you could tell me you didn't like it later, but that's what we have to do. In Genesis 1:26, in the Message Bible, because we're continuing what we started on Sunday, we need to understand who's in control. And most importantly, we need to understand that we're in control and that God wanted it that way. In Genesis 1, God spoke, and this is out of the Message Bible, verse 26 to 28, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. So right there in the beginning, God said that I want man to be responsible, to be the controlling authority in the earth. So we were supposed to be responsible. And every animal that moves on the face of the earth, God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. So God made us humans to reflect his nature. He made us godlike. So that means all the characteristics of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, should be in every human being. Otherwise, we wouldn't be after his nature. We wouldn't be a reflection of God. And it was very important for the control of this planet. It was very important that man reflected God, because at that time, the Godhead controlled everything. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for his man to take over, his man to be in control of things. Let's read verse 28. And I'm going to read it out of a different translation, out of the Voice translation. Because it said, take charge, be responsible for the fish, to see the birds in the air. But in the Voice translation, it says it a little differently. It says, then God blessed them and gave them this directive. Be fruitful, multiply, populate the earth. I make you trustees of my estate, so care for my creation. God is saying, I'm making you the trustee, and your job as trustee is to care for my creation. Well, what was his creation? The earth. This world, this planet. God said, you are the trustees of this planet. You take care of my creation. That's why he made us the way he made us. He said, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that roams across the earth. So mankind, according to the scripture in the Voice translation, we were the trustees of God's estate, earth. And then God said, let them, my creation, mankind, let them have dominion. The Godhead had dominion. And the Godhead said, man, you have dominion. And dominion, according to the concordance, it's the power or the right of governing and controlling. That's what dominion means. It means when you have dominion, you have the right to govern, you have the right to control. It's a sovereign authority. That means you're a person of superior rank, superior power, and superior authority. There's no one on the planet higher in ranking, in superiority, or authority than mankind. That's the way God created us. Control, because he created us to have dominion and control, That's the power to govern, command, direct, or rule. And it means to check. I remember playing basketball. You know, you found out who your man was and you had to check him. That means you had to stop him. He couldn't score because you checked him. As being persons in control, we have the ability to check. We have the ability to limit, to curb, to regulate, and to restrain. That was given to man. And so as the trustee, if anything was going on in the garden that was wrong, Adam could not go to God and say, God, will you take care of this? No, Adam was expected to handle it because he was a trustee. Just like God expects us to handle things because we've been restored to that position. And we'll talk about that in a minute. See, God's intention was always for man to be in control of this earth. It was never his intention for the devil to become the prince of the power of the air. And he still is the prince of the power of the air, but he's not the supreme ranking authority on the earth. We are. Prince is not the highest realm in the kingdom. And what we have, well, go to Luke 10. Those of you that know me know this is one of my absolute favorite verses in the Bible. And I'm always reading it in different translations, but the one that I read the most is the Amplified Classic because it just says it the way it needs to be said. Jesus said, now he's talking to us, so he's talking to his disciples. He said, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And guess what, folks? Nothing shall in any way harm you. So when you look at that scripture closely, and I want to take a few minutes on that scripture, says Jesus gave us authority to trample and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. Well, we've been given by Jesus power, authority, physical and mental strength and ability over all. And the key word in that scripture for me is all. We forget that we've been given this power over all that the enemy can come up with. All. We look at some things the enemy comes up with and we become afraid. We get scared. We don't think we can handle it because we don't remember that we've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. Now think, there's nothing the devil can come up with that we can't overcome. Nothing. And that's because what Jesus gave us encompasses anything that the devil has or anything that the devil gets. So if some new power source for the devil comes along, we still have power over that. Because if it's a possession of the devil, we've been given power, we've been given authority, we've been given physical and mental strength and ability over it. So that means it can't cause us to become depressed because we have mental ability over it. It can't overpower us, it can't overtake us because we've been given physical ability over it. And the problem that we've been having as believers is we don't understand that. Or we flat out don't believe it for whatever reason. We look at what the devil comes with and we think we can't handle it. Jesus said we can. He said, I give you power over all, every bit of the power of the enemy. Right now, you know, folks send me things via messenger, and you know, you get things on texts and emails, and you go on your Facebook page and you see all of this stuff, you know, about government should do this and this conspiracy theory and that conspiracy theory. I don't care about conspiracy theories. You know why? It's not going to say anything different than what the Bible already said. What's happening now is the power of the enemy. It doesn't matter who started it. It doesn't matter who planned it. You know what matters? that we understand that we've been given power and authority, physical and mental strength and ability over anything the devil's got. And we need to spend time, instead of trying to figure out who's behind it, we know who's behind it, the devil. We need to get out and start doing what we're supposed to do. And that is taking control over it. Not allowing it to, checking it, not allowing it to advance, restrain it. That's what we're supposed to be doing, not trying to figure out where it came from. I don't care. You know, those of you that played sports, you ever ask yourself where your opponents came from, where they were born, who cares? All that matters was they had on the wrong color uniform. So they were against me, and my job was to take them out. Not literally take them out. We're talking about sports, just winning the game, okay? All right. But the power that I have as a believer, the power that you have as a believer, is equivalent to the same power Jesus has, which is the same power Adam had. The power or right of governing and controlling, the sovereign authority. They both had power to govern, command, direct, or rule. They both could check, which means to stop. They had the power to limit. They had the power to curb. They had the power to regulate. They had the power to restrain. And so do we. It doesn't matter what the devil brings, folks, because Jesus came. Well, let's look at it in the scripture. 1 John 3. I want you to see it so you know it's not just Pastor Greg talking. 1 John 3, verse 8. This is out of the Passion Translation. The one who indulges in the sinful life is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. This is the part I wanted to get to. The reason the Son of God was revealed, the reason Jesus came here to earth, was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came here to reverse the effects and utterly destroy whatever the devil did, does, or is doing. That's why he came. And he's our example. We can do the same thing, undo and destroy. Because just like Jesus has power over all of the enemy, so do we as believers. And we have to understand that, folks. We have to understand it and stop acting like we don't know what's going on. We do know what's going on. We have power over all the power of the enemy without exception. Nothing he can come up with can overtake us. Not if we know who we are, and not if we believe it. We have to believe it. Jesus said, in that passage, Jesus is saying, regardless of what the devil has, I've given you everything that you need to govern and control him. Everything. You have supreme rank and power and authority over him. But you have to believe it. It doesn't matter what Jesus gave us. If you don't believe it, it's like you never had it in the first place. There's nothing, understand this, folks, there is nothing that the devil has, does, that does not have to bow down to the authority of the believer. Think about it. There isn't anything that the devil can come up with that can't bow down. Anything he comes up with has to bow down to a believer who knows who they are and who operates in faith. Has to, not might, has to bow down. So you're getting excited again, Pastor. Yes, I am, because we've been letting the enemy win too long. I don't want anybody who's defeated to beat me. We keep saying he's under our feet, he's under our feet. We got to act like it, that he's under our feet. Look at Matthew 16. I have the New Life. You can put up whatever version we have. We may not have the New Life on electronically. But they all say the same thing. Verse 19 says it a little differently. But this is when Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, and he just asked his disciples, he said, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say you're Jeremiah or one of the early preachers. And he said to him, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of Jonah, you're happy because you did not learn this from man. My Father in heaven has shown you this. And I'll tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock," and that means on this revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, "On that revelation, I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not be able to have power over my church." So again, he's letting us know that as the church, whatever the devil has doesn't have any power over us. And then verse 19 is what I really want you to be thinking about. Jesus said, "I will give you the keys of the holy nation of heaven, and whatever you do not allow on earth will not have been allowed in heaven, and whatever you allow on earth allowed in heaven." So having the keys of the kingdom changes everything. Everything, because Jesus gave us the keys, and now we decide who's going to be allowed in. We decide who stays out because we've been given the keys. We've been given absolute authority. We have by Jesus, and it's entirely up to us. And God will back up whatever choice we make. Because it said, whatever you allow is allowed. Whatever you forbid is forbidden. God backs it up. That's why we need to make sure that, like in that Indiana Jones movie, that we allow wisely. We don't want to do it foolishly. Whatever you don't allow on earth will not be allowed in heaven, and whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. And whatever is like the word all. There's not anything left out. Whatever it is that we allow will be allowed. Whether it's to our good or whether it's to our detriment, because we're the gatekeepers. If we let it in, God's like, "They let it in. I can't go back on my word. So if they let it in, I have to let it in." And meanwhile, he has the Holy Ghost telling us, "Don't let it in. Put it back out." And we have to say, "God, we made a mistake. You get out of here. I should never let you in the beginning. Out, out." And God has to say, "They said out, you're out." Because we decide. We have that sovereign rank. We as a church have supreme rank, power, and authority. So, and this is very important, folks, and people may not like to hear it, but it's the truth. We don't have to wait for God to come in and move. He put us here to move. He already told us who we are and what we have. So we have power, we have authority. If this is an obstacle from the enemy, and he's given me power over it, I don't have to go to God, "Please, will you come and move this thing for me? I'm trying to do your work, but this keeps getting in my way." Well, he's given me authority. If it's in my way, I can move it. I can just take it and move it myself. Why? I have authority. I don't have to call on God to do it. I have to act on the authority that he gave me. Let me show it to you in a different light. In Mark 16. I want to see it in Mark 16. And let you know how faith plays into all of this. It says, starting with verse 14, this is King James Version. It says, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat," that means as they sat eating, "and upbraided them." That means he took them to task. He got on their case big time, told them off because of their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not they which had seen him after he was risen. Now let's just think about this. These weren't just a group of people. These were 11 of his disciples. 11 of the original 12, because we know what happened to Judas. But that 11 was with him for over 3 years. They were with him. They saw him perform all the miracles. They saw all the healings. They saw demons flee. They saw the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. They saw Peter walked on the water. They saw all of those things, and they participated in some. Because they came back and they say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So why would they have faith issues? Jesus had to spend time. Jesus came to them for a reason. He had a reason as to why he came to see them. But before he could tell them the purpose, he had to take care of where they are, where they were with their faith. Folks, from that I saw clearly, you will never realize your purpose if you don't get your faith together. If you don't have faith, you'll never realize your purpose because you'll be too afraid to step out. You won't do anything Jesus said that we could do because you'll be afraid. This isn't a time for us to be afraid. This is a time for us to stand up, square our shoulders, and walk like we know who we are, because we do. And understanding that there isn't anything that the devil can do to us. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptizeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into the heaven and set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord working with them. Not for them. The Lord was working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now think about this. Everybody said, you'll never realize your purpose if you refuse to live by faith. So Jesus, after getting their understanding of faith in line, then he went on to their purpose, what their purpose is as the church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who's supposed to go into all the world? You, me. We're not to stand back and say, okay, God, you bring them here and we'll preach to them. No, you're supposed to be going into all the world. So, well, I'm waiting for direction. We already got direction. Go. Where? Go. It's not scriptural. I have this saying that God doesn't move parked cars. He can, but the car is moving, and the Holy Ghost guides us into all truth. Doesn't say the Holy Ghost will start your engine. He said he'll guide you into all truth. So you need to be moving. Moving. Jesus didn't say he was to go. He said for us to go. He said, he that believeth. He that believeth. That he's talking about the people that you're ministering to. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, this is the big one, folks. These signs shall follow them that believe. Them that believe. That means if you don't believe, guess what's going to follow you? Nothing. Well, maybe trouble. But it says these signs will follow them that believe. Them that know who they are. Them who stepped out in faith. Them who know they've been equipped. He said, in my name, you will cast out devils. He didn't say he was going to cast them out. He said, in his name, you cast them out. We see someone that we think has a devil, we run 30 yards to the left or right, pick up our cell phone and try and call Super Saint, who you know has experience with devils. verse didn't say if you have experience. Jesus already gave us power over all the power that the devil has. So all we have to say is come out of him in Jesus' name. And he has to come out, because there isn't anything that the devil has that can resist. There isn't anything that the devil has that can't bow down and say, yes, I have to do it. Jesus is Lord. And just do what that believer has commanded him to do. He said, we'll cast out devils because we've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. So we can cast out devils. We can speak with new tongues. If we take up serpents and drink any deadly thing, it won't harm us. They being who? The church members, the believers. They shall lay hands on the sick, and because they have the authority given to them by Jesus Christ, the sick shall recover. We wait. I don't feel led to lay hands on them. I didn't see that anywhere in the instructions. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is there any sick out there? You lay hands on them, they'll recover. We're going to say, Jesus, we have a bad case down here. And we start praying and we start interceding for Jesus to come and heal. But the word said to us, lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. And we have to be about laying hands on the sick. And so and believing that they will recover, we have to get this one right, because there are too many times, like I said, we keep waiting for God to show up. When he did show up, when we showed up. Remember at the beginning, it said Jesus had to jerk the slack out of the original disciples for their unbelief? Well, we have to do the same thing with ourselves, because we have to realize that we have supreme authority. That's authority over anything. We don't have authority over God, okay? We don't have authority over the Godhead. We have authority over everything else. It's the Godhead, man, everything else. That's really the order it is, folks. That's really what it is. Jesus never waited for God to show up to do anything. When his disciples couldn't cast the devil out of that little boy, and the father was just frazzled by it, and he went to Jesus and told Jesus. Jesus didn't say, well, let me call up my father and see what he's going to do. What did Jesus say? What a generation. No sense of God. He said, bring him to me. And he told him, be gone. And it was gone. His disciples couldn't do it. I think there were eight or nine of his disciples were there. They couldn't do it. What type of witness is that? And when they said, when they got Jesus by himself, they said, well, Jesus, how come we couldn't do it? Some translations say prayer and fasting, and we misunderstand it, because if prayer and fasting was required, Jesus didn't say, let me go and pray and fast, and I'll come back. He was talking about something different, and I believe the Message Bible gets it right. Jesus' response in the Message Bible is, because you're not yet taking God seriously. You don't really believe that you can do this. You think something else has to happen. But if you take God seriously and you do what he says, you'll get the results that you want every single time. Every single time. We have to know that we're supreme in our authority, just like Jesus is. It says when, verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he being Jesus was received up into the heavens and set at the right hand of God. And they went forth. Again, who are they? The disciples, the people, the church went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, not for them, not instead of them, but working with them, and confirmed the word with signs following. I just have this picture of that in my mind, where you go and you see someone is sick and you be healed in Jesus' name, and the word gets confirmed. Jesus comes back, yep, that's right. And you keep on. I command you to come out of that boy. Yep, that's right. And they come out. But who's doing the work? The believer. We're not standing back waiting, saying, Jesus, come and handle this. Jesus, come and take care of this. Jesus is saying, that's why I died, so that you could handle it, so that you can have the same power I have, the same authority I have, and you can get this work done because you believe. That's why before he gave the purpose, he had to deal with the unbelief, because you'll never fulfill your purpose if you're filled with unbelief. And we have to get rid of the unbelief. We have to stop being afraid. We have to stop being taken aback, shocked by anything that comes. I haven't read one time, if you have, please, you know, send me the scripture so I can read it. Because I want to read one time when Jesus said, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I never expected that this was going to happen. I'd love to see that scripture if it exists. Nothing threw him. You know why? He knew he was supreme authority. He knew whatever came, it had to be in subjection to him. And he walked around and he acted like it. So he didn't care what came. And that needs to be our attitude. People get upset with me, you know, when I say, go ahead, take your best shot, devil. And someone said to me once, but you're a target. You're a target. I said, that's okay. This target knows how to fight back. I'm not a target hanging on a pole waiting to be shot. This target will come at you. And then who becomes the target? That satanic thing that's trying to attack a child of the Most High God. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing's ever going to happen. I mean, how can you, if we expect to be delivered, well, you can't be delivered unless something's going on that you need to be delivered from. You can't be victorious unless you're in a battle. You can't be an overcomer unless there's something that you have to come over. And what I'm trying to get us to realize is that we overcome. We come over. We stay. Can you imagine? I have keys to open every door in the church. I told you that on Monday. These two keys will open any door in here. Now, can you imagine I'm in this building, sitting in a room, and I pull out my phone and say, can someone call a locksmith? Because I need help getting out. And I'm sitting here with the keys in my hand, using them just to play with, when is somebody going to come and let me out of here? How long do I have to stay in here? Don't they know what's, somebody should have figured something out by now. You have the keys. Use them. I can't imagine someone getting in their car and, you know, I'll be with the times, getting in their car and not pushing the button that says start. Just sitting in their car saying, when is this thing going to start? Calling the manufacturer and saying, can you come and help me get this thing started? I've been sitting here for an hour waiting for this thing to start. It's like, push the start button. Oh, I can do that? It's yours. It came with the car. By the way, did you read the instruction manual? Okay, Pastor, you're meddling. Yeah, well, that's the problem. We have an instruction manual. It's called the Bible. It tells us everything we need to know about who we've become in Christ. It lists everything we can do. It lists the things we can't do. It tells us all about us, every single promise that God's made. And if we'd study that book, we'd know what to do. Well, if we studied it and believed it, we'd know what to do. And one way to figure out or to find out that the Bible is true, folks, do something it says and see what happens. Just do something. I misplaced my debit card. I've done it before. And all the usual places. Usually I would leave it in this breast pocket on my shirt. Sometimes I put it in my pants pocket, but it's usually one of those two places, unless I put it on my lap when I get in the car and it falls in between the seats. And so I'm looking all over for my bank card, and it's not showing up anywhere. I went home, went through my bags, did everything. And finally I said, Lord, first of all, I repent for being careless. This has happened before. I know I should put it, doesn't take that long to take the bank card and put it back in my wallet where it belongs. But I said, but it still belongs to me. And I haven't found a scripture that says, because I do something wrong, the devil has a right to it. So I said, Lord, I call my bank card back today, right now, in Jesus' name. And then I left it alone. I came into the office, put my things down on my desk, and heard the Holy Ghost tell me, go get your bank card out of your jacket. And my thought was, I don't have a jacket here. But I walked over to my coat rack, and the jacket I wore yesterday when I left last night, I left it here. And in the pocket was what? My bank card. So, well, that's just a bank card. No, that's a principle that works. My wife inadvertently flushed her wedding band down the toilet. It dropped in the toilet, and she didn't realize it until she flushed it. And she was very upset. And she called me and she told me. I came home with another one because I told her, it's just a ring. That's all, it's just a ring. Don't. I said, did you flush the marriage? She said, no. I said, it's just a ring. And we called it back. About 2 months later, she went into the bathroom and I heard her scream. Went inside, the wedding band was in the bottom of the commode. After 2 months, we called it back. And then we disinfected it, and that's the one that she wants to wear. Why am I telling you that? Because the word works. It works. When you speak words in faith, it works. We're using it for the wrong stuff. See, this pandemic, yes, let's use our faith for that. We're believing for a car. Well, God said he'd provide for every need. If you need a car, he'll get you one. But use your faith. There's a world out there that's waiting for believers to use their faith. Let me share something that Pastor Rick wrote. Because a lot of folks have asked me, well, how come we don't see a lot of signs and wonders in the church like we used to way back when? Pastor Rick said, the number of signs and wonders that follow you will be determined by how intensely you are constantly believing for them to be in manifestation. I mean, you believe that there'll be more, there'll be more. As noted, everything in the kingdom of God is activated by faith. If you're not releasing faith for the miraculous to occur, very little of the miraculous will be manifested in your life. If you want signs and wonders to faithfully follow you, you must be constantly believing for them to happen, constantly understanding that you are the one in control. Folks, please understand this. We all know what's going on. It's just the power of the devil. It's only the power of the devil. Church, please understand, we've been given authority over it. Over it. Every time I hear about groups of believers praying, I hear reports that the numbers of they seem to be dropping slightly. You know, we're hoping it's really going to flat. Keep speaking to it. What's happening? You're pushing it back. You're curbing it. You're checking it. You're restraining. Keep doing it. Know that we've been authorized to do it. Know that no matter what comes, it's not bigger, it's not better, or more powerful than a believer who knows who he is. See you next time.